for hands and say, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive all that is found in the written word today. Our eyes behold Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified. We are edified. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, verses 18. We're discussing on the church, the local church, and you. The church, the local church, and you. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me. That one authority is the Greek word exousia. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In heaven and on earth. Heaven and earth again.
That's what I'm
saying. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, and Lord, with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, we said at the beginning of this teaching, that was from track one. I showed you this track one. If anyone will download, you have track one, right? Part one, this is part six. Okay. From the first time we started, actually had a distinction. We said, when he said baptizing them, that is the Greek word baptizo, right? We say it's got nothing to do with water baptism, right? It's got nothing to do with water baptism. That's not water baptism. Glory to God. It's not water baptism. Is it baptizing them? And that is what happens when a man receives the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, says, if any man be in Christ. So to be born again is to be in Christ. Baptism means to immerse, to be in. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Remember, we said something last time. We said, over time, grammar changes, right? That was last week. We said grammar evolves, or English has evolved. So if you read scriptures with modern day grammar, you miss out a whole lot of things, but you make a whole lot of errors. I will cite the example of a young guy who said he now knows who Paul's father is. Who is Paul's father? He said, Paul said, my old man is crucified with Christ. So when he said my old man, you know, today people call their fathers old man. They say, I know who Paul's father is. His old man was crucified with Christ. So that means the guy on the cross with Jesus was Paul's father. That was crazy to think. But in modern day grammar, it makes sense, right? But that is no rhema. Because if you have to read scriptures, scriptures did not evolve. In as much as grammar has evolved over time, scriptures, what you have as scripture, never evolved. Are you following me? So, if I'm to read scriptures to understand, I must be like the first century believers. Are you following me? When Paul wrote, what was his intention? Are you hearing me? Like the first century believer. So you make use of the grammar, or I must understand their grammatical expression as of then. Hallelujah. And that's what we said. Glory to God. I must understand how words were used then. And that's the reason why we'll go back to Greek, so that we'll get to know what's the root word, the Greek and the Hebrew, get to know the root word, how it was used then. So when you hear baptizo in the Greek, it means to be in. You understand? To be put in. So when he said baptizing them, so it's not water baptism where you go stand in the pool or in the river and you go, no. Hallelujah. Romans 6. He said, not to be like baptized into Christ. This is, so to be born again is to be baptized into Christ. Say, you've put on Christ. Hallelujah. I wonder, where does that happen? When a man gets saved, he's baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, go make disciples. That is the Greek word matitio, disciples. What we have in our today's term as go make apprentice. So Jesus tells them, go make apprentice. That word matitio is used for how you raise a child from preschool to becoming a scholar. So when that word matitio is used, it's used for how you raise up a child from preschool to becoming a scholar. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus says to us, or he says, go raise disciples, go make students. Go make students, go make scholars. Hallelujah. Go make scholars. So we said the undertone, that word matitio will have an undertone. Right? And in the undertone you have, well, yeah, go make scholars, go make students. Something comes to mind. A gathering is in the undertone. A gathering. You have gathering in the undertone. A local church is in the undertone. One. Something else. A discipline. Why do I use the word discipline? I've been trying to look for a better word to use, but I prefer discipline. You know, when you send a child, okay, the Igbo culture still have it today, that at a certain age, you teach a child to learn a trade. So the child leaves the father and the mother and goes to be with his master. And he learns a particular trade. Listen, he goes to be with the mother to learn a particular trade. Sometimes import and export. Sometimes they are into pharmaceutical. Sometimes they are into beans, right? You know, drugs, different. But you cannot say I'm learning medicine. And while learning medicine, or while I'm learning medicine, I am. My oga is doing tailoring. Do you understand? Like, for example, I'm sent to go and learn medicine, and I got there. I'm learning medicine in a tailor shop. Is that possible? It's not possible. You're going to learn medicine in a pharmaceutical, right? You can also narrow it down to the citadel of learning we have today. You go to the university. You can't go to the university to go and learn all courses. No, that's why you have a faculty, right? You can't go to university and say, I want to be, you know, when we're small, we have different aspirations. Like me. I want to be a pilot, I want to be an accountant, everything. Ship business, every business. You know, but you know, thank God for JAMB, a Nigerian university, they will tailor you into something. Hallelujah. They will tailor your life well. Glory to God. You just find yourself in one school reading farming. Bah! Glory to God. Amen. Glory. If you laugh, I'll shut the gates of heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So there is a discipline and there is the gathering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So when he now says, go make disciples. The question will now be, what is the discipline? Disciples of what? Right? Disciples of what? What would be the discipline? For us to know the disciples, what the discipline will be of disciples of what? For us, what events just took place? The event that just happened is the resurrection. Hallelujah. The event that just took place was the resurrection. So, within the 40 days. So, the resurrection was still bubbling. So, he said, go make disciples. So, the disciples will be disciples of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that was why when he was to give the curriculum, you know, Jesus gave the curriculum. He says, go make disciples. Verse 29 says, teaching them to observe all whatsoever commanded. He said, and lo, I'm with you. Hallelujah. That word "lo" means see, I'm with you. See, I'm with you. So there is a curriculum for discipleship. There is a church curriculum. What should be taught in church? Jesus gave us. Hallelujah. You can't go to church and want to learn how to become rich. Rich dad, poor dad. You're learning that in church. But it's laws of fire in church. No. 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 Hallelujah. No, you don't learn that in church. You go to a business school to learn that. In church, we teach Christ. And Christ alone. We teach Christ and his resurrection alone. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, we don't go back to my church. They go make disciples of my resurrection. So it's funny when you now say, let's have Christian businessmen summit. How to make wealth. How to what's the name of, we have one funny topic years back. The shifting of the tables. The wealth of the nations are piled for the sons of God.
And people will be running. How many of the wealth have you collected?
You still went to school, right?
Don't deceive yourself. Even me, I went to a dry camp. I should sit in my house and let the wealth of the nation come and find me on the table now.
Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, church is where we teach Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave us the curriculum. He said, teaching them to observe. Look at verse 20 very well. All whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, I want you to take note of that word. A key word, observe, is what tells you in the Greek. It means to look at it. To look at something keenly, as though if you take your eyes off it, it's going to disappear. So he said, teaching them to observe. To look at it. Observe what I've commanded you. What has he commanded them? What has he commanded them? In Luke 24, verse 44, he said to them, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. And all things must be fulfilled, everything in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophet concerning me. So that means what Jesus taught them pre-resurrection and post-resurrection are the same thing. So what did he command them? Hallelujah. Concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. How read from verse 16? Are you there? What was it discussing? What did he teach them? Pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. Remember we said it's going to be concerning what? The resurrection, right? Matthew 16. Look at us. I'm going to skip a whole lot. Verses 16. After he asked the question, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 18. He says, and I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We'll delve into this scripture a bit, right? We'll get to see it some other time. But let's just look at it. It says, upon this rock, I will build my church. So, what Jesus was speaking to them about was concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Was concerning the resurrection. He said, upon this rock, we said the rock is not Peter. Mm-mm, it's not Peter. It can't be Peter. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be Peter. It can be Peter. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The first day I told this to a guy, 2002, a Roman Catholic guy, he was surprised. He said, it's not Peter. It can't be Peter. Hallelujah. It can't be Peter. It can't be Peter. He was referring to the truth about himself. Hallelujah. We saw that, right?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Now he was referring to the truth about himself. So upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now he now said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Remember, we said that when he said the gates of hell will not prevail, he was referring to his resurrection. It's not an ongoing fact. That's, you know, some people say, let's want to pitch a small gathering. Say, now let's pray. The gate of hell should not prevail. No, 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 no. The church of Christ. When he said the gate of hell, that word, remember the use of word again. When he used the word hell, it's the Greek word Hades. Hades means the place of the dead. So what Jesus is telling you is that I will resurrect. Do you get that? I will resurrect. Meaning at the resurrection, he built his church. And the gates of hell did not prevail. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You see why Jesus had to teach them for 40 days? Because they needed to understand the resurrection. The resurrection is not April when you do Easter Day. It's Easter Day. The resurrection day. Amen. No. There's no resurrection. The resurrection is the everyday reality of the believer. It's not an event. Though there was an event to read, that was when he resurrected, right? That resurrection was the event, but you know, the resurrection is an explanation. Jesus resurrected and for 40 days he taught them. Are you hearing me? He taught them concerning what has happened so that they will not see it as an event. They will see the reality in that resurrection. And we've been discussing that reality. Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We've been discussing that reality here. Glory to God. So it's not an event. So some people have just dedicated April every year to remember resurrection. No, no, no. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, he said, if Christ has not arisen, He uses the word arise in the present tense continuous, meaning the resurrection is not past. The resurrection of Christ is not past. It's the everyday reality of the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He's alive today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We said the resurrection is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We said the resurrection is the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, let's quickly look at some few things here. So we said in the resurrection, when Jesus resurrected, he resurrected as the church. He said, I will build my church. Where in the resurrection? So when he resurrected, he built his church. So in that resurrection, he is the person of the church. Hallelujah. He is the person of the church. And we said, when you say he is the head of the church, I said, do not picture a physical body. No. When you're head of the church, don't look at my big head and my small body. No. You see, the head of the church means he is the source. Are you hearing me? So he's the source. Are you following me? So Jesus is the person of the church. He is the source. Hallelujah. And we are identified together with him. Genesis chapter 49 says, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. So in the new birth, we are gathered together in him. Glory to God. We are gathered together in him. So that our gathering in him is called the church. So no one person is called the church of Christ. We are gathering together in Christ. That gathering in him is called church. Hallelujah. That identification we have is called church. Glory to God. And we said Christ has built his church. Glory to God. He has founded his church. He has built his church in the resurrection. And we saw how he did it, right? We said the church is what is holy, right? Right? The church of God is united. We said the church of God is without spots nor wrinkle or any of such thing. Glory to God. We said the church of God has received the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You said the church of God has life. The church of God is not deficient of life. Say, I'm not deficient of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So last week, we now saw something that Jesus makes us see. After chapter 16, we go to chapter 18, verses 18 into 20. Sorry, verses 17 rather. He said, if you refuse to hear, he said, tell it to the church. Now Jesus is using the church. Now he uses the church for something else again. First of all, he uses the church as what he would do in the resurrection, right? Right? As what will be founded in the resurrection. Now he now said, yeah, he said, if your brother offends you, he said, tell it to another brother to see if you can win the brother. If you refuse, he said, tell it to the church. Now when he says church, yeah, he's referring to a physical gathering. He said, if he refused to hear the church, say, let him be to you a hidden and a tax collector. I've told you this. You know, some people, you know, I've heard someone say, let it be to you a hidden and a tax collector. So, let the person refuse to receive your apology. Yeah, let the person go. Who cares? No. When he said, let it be to you as a hidden and a tax collector, what did Jesus do to the hidden and the tax collectors? He loved them. So he said, show love. Amen. People don't like to hear that part. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Okay, let's jump down to verse 20. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus referred to the gathering as church. So the gathering as church. A physical gathering. He calls it church. I would say the physical gathering will be as a result of our gathering in him by identification, right? Remember, first of all, we are identified with him. We are gathered in him by identification, which is when we are born again. We are all found in Christ, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? That is John chapter 15. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said, abide in me and I in you. So to be born again is to be in Christ. Glory to God. Say, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Glory to God. So we said the church of Christ should be seen first in the person of Christ. to receive forthwith in the person of Christ, which is our identification in Him. Then, the gathering together as we have here today is as a result of that gathering we have in Him. Do you understand? So those who are gathered in Him are not supposed to now meet physically. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we see the church first from that standpoint. And we saw that that gathering, physical gathering, is an instruction. We have an instruction to gather as believers. We have an instruction to gather. That's what we saw. Right? Matthew 28 verse 10. Jesus sent the women. Verse 10, he said, and he said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they would see me. So Jesus instructed the gathering first. Hallelujah. Jesus instructed the gathering first. And we saw something very vital, that the gathering of believers will save you. Right? We saw the gathering of believers will gather together. It will save you. We'll get to see that a bit again today. We said, what was wrong with Peter and Judas? They both did what was wrong. Peter betrayed, right? Why? James was Peter that betrayed. Yeah, Peter betrayed. Right? Hey, you see yourself? You do not do hierarchy. You did see hierarchy. Now, Peter denied. Somebody nodded his head. He said, can you understand? And you know. He said, Peter denied. Judas betrayed. That's where I'm going. Hallelujah. So what is the difference between the denier and the betrayer? Can you now see? What's the difference? Okay, someone wants to say, one, collected money.
The other one did not collect money.
But that one that did not collect money, even this one was very, very funny. He caused a little time. La gross! I'm not saying with Anna. They didn't give me fish. He said, let me know those words. You know, when we're small, if you do have something that is bad, a bit, you don't like fire. But if it is painful, glory to God. So that's why I did a little child. So, what is the difference? Betrayer and denier. But you know, one person hanged himself, the other person was restored. Why was Peter restored and Judas not restored? When Judas committed his act, he went to hang himself. But Peter was found in the company of believers. You understand? When Jesus asked that they should gather, was Peter there? Peter was there. So, meaning Peter was there for 40 days when Jesus was teaching them. So, meaning Peter was restored in the gathering of believers. Hallelujah. You see, the gathering will save you. That is why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, into 25. Let's look at that again. Hebrews 10, 24-25. I want everybody to look at it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good work. He said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. He said, not forsaking. Remember, we looked at that word forsaking. You know, if you just look at the word forsaking, it's just passion. No. That word forsaking means to treat low. To underesteem, to treat as nothing. He said, do not forsake the gathering of ourselves. Do you understand? If you do, you see, the church, when we gather like this, you know, this our gathering is called church. I'm getting there. It's called church. Hallelujah. So the gathering of ourselves, you see, it will save you. If gathering was not important, Jesus wouldn't have instructed that they gather. The apostles, all true. I told us something. I said, all of Paul's writing, apart from the ones he wrote to pastors, which is Timothy,
Titus and Philemon. In fact, he still addressed the gathering. But no, those Timothy, Titus, Philemon, apart from those three, all of Paul's writing he wrote to the gathering of believers together. Corinth, the gathering. Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, the gathering. Thessalonica, the gathering. Hallelujah. So gathering is important. Gathering is important. So the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect, do not forsake, do not treat low. How do you treat low? By your actions and inactions. You're coming a few minutes late for me, and you are strolling and catwalking. I don't go, see, let me tell you something. I don't even attend a believer's meeting and you just find me inside. No. No. I'm going and praying in tongues. I'm driving and speaking in tongues. I prepare for the meeting. Are you hearing me? I don't just stroll in and say that I've been preaching for since 2000 and after minister I've been on since 2005. So I've been preaching for some few years, some few months, a few days. Let me just, I will know how to just talk to them. Anybody will understand. It's not true. It's not true. Before I leave my house to come down here, I pray. Before I get to talk to us, I pray. That shows the moment I stop praying, it means I'm forsaking this gathering. Are you hearing me? So, for example, I'm going to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to church on Sunday, on Wednesday, on Friday. You just strolled in. You just found yourself in church. No. No. You must get prepared for that service. So I will pray. I will go over my notes again. Again. I will pray. And I will be there on time. I will not just stroll into the meeting. I will not just catwalk, elephant talk, dog walk, and catwalk everything. Just no more do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I must treat the gathering of believers with a premium. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, some people now say there's a difference between church, fellowship, house fellowship, campus meeting, and what again? Cell meeting. See, it is ignorance. I met someone. We met someone. I and one of your pastors, they met someone yesterday. I will ask him, bro, what is in for missing? In fact, I've not seen that brother for about 2 to 3 years. And I knew he told me some issues around why he was not coming for meeting. Now, we now met him on the way while we're going home. That was yesterday, right? And I said, bro, how do you see for meeting? Why? You don't come for you don't come to church service. Something along that line. You know what he replied? He said, I will not call what he said, but let me just say the major part that you need to know. He said, is it house fellowship? He called our gathering house fellowship. See, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. In fact, they called it hostel fellowship before when I was in school. They called it hostel fellowship. Tell me, sir. Listen, what is when you talk about gathering? You can call it a fellowship. God, what we do is that we fellowship together.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It's a local church. It's a fellowship. It's a cell meeting. Why did they say a cell? It's a cell meeting. Are you hearing me? But we now have a cell. A cell of a cell. You know what I mean? Yeah? Glory to God. A cell is a little unit of a bedroom. Right? Science students, please. You know when the commercial student begins to talk about science, we can make a whole lot of mistakes. Aha. I'm being careful. The smallest unit, right? Something's on the smallest unit. So, I try. Glory to God. I just remember something. Let's continue. If I go and ask questions now, somebody will just throw my hand. So, let's continue. It's all the gathering of believers. Hallelujah. So you can call it, people call it different names, but you know it's the gathering of believers. It's called church. Are you hearing me? It's called church. When believers, that means when two or more are gathered. He was making reference to what he had been talking about in verses 18. He's talking about the church. Are you hearing me? Tell it to the church. So it's called church. Two is church. Three is church. That gathering is called church. Hallelujah. So some people will call a place church because they have holies of holies, inner chamber, and the chambers of chambers. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. They have AC, they have CA, they have everything. They call church a place where you see usher. They say, oh, you welcome to church. Giving them that smile, you welcome to church. And you come here, you see one pastor that is learning farming. He's carrying his hoe. Welcome to church. See, you're not even nice. You know, you put a certain swagger about.
God come, church.
Hallelujah. You're looking for swagger. You know that place, you know, a church is where you just enter like that, the AC that will blow your head, even demons will run. And when the choir wants to sing, you hear song. Hallelujah. And God said, I should tell you, that is church. But fellowship is when they begin to open Bible. Genesis 1. Corinthians 2. Are you there? Ephesians 5. That is fellowship. No. It's called church. Hallelujah. Amen. Church is where we teach the word. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, we'll see more of that as we continue. Okay. So we said the gathering is an instruction, right?
Yes.
Okay. Glory to God. And we should esteem that gathering of believers. Why should we esteem it? Because we share the same identity. Right? We share the same identity. We share a common identity in Christ. All of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12. It says, as the body is one and has many members. Okay, another thing. Before I get there, wait. How will you forsake the gathering of believers? You can be dead. I just saw it right now, but I wrote it. So, see, you can be in a believer's gathering and you're forsaking it. How? They are teaching scriptures. You are WhatsApping. They are teaching scriptures. You are not writing. You are forsaking that garden. Are you hearing me? When you're going to church, see, I work in the business world. I cannot attend a meeting. I cannot attend a meeting without a book, without a jotter. Not only a jotter, I have an office diary. I document every meeting, both with clients, with anybody, is documented. Ask me tomorrow, I'll be able to provide them. And I'm not coming to a believer's gathering with that. In fact, you cannot come to a business meeting with me. You're not with a paper and I'll walk you out. Yes, no. The guys that I was there, right from the judge, then they will testify. What are you going to do in the meeting? Tell us that. So, you don't come to church, you don't come with the writing material. How is that done? Where is that done? No, don't do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people will come to church. Where is your Bible? I got my Bible in my phone. Glory to God. Shandai. Amen.
I want to hit harder for you today. Hallelujah. I have it in my phone.
What do you have on your phone? I have WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook. What again? Snapchat. Chat Snap. And you have the Bible there, in the midst of the world. Your Bible too is there. No. Hallelujah. Carry your Bible. Amen. I'm talking to the Bible. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Now let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are here now. It says, for as the body is one and has many members. It says, but all members of that body be many. Are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. It says, for by one spirit, right, we are all baptized. Now, can you see? Is the baptism there? Water baptism? No. Remember, we've corrected that, right? We are all baptized into one body.
All of us will have a common identity, which is what? The Holy Ghost. Say, by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Next verse. No, sorry. The next statement is what? This is where I want to go. Hallelujah. So whether Greek or Hebrew, or Jews rather, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's go.
So, you see, we have, irrespective of our social status, we are one. If we read James chapter 2, we'll get to see that soon. James 2 shows us that you don't esteem people above each other when we gather. No, we are all the same. Hallelujah. We have the common, if we like have riches, if we like don't have, we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. That is what we have in common. So the church is where we come to discuss what we have in common. No, don't come and tell me about your riches. I don't want to know. Don't come and tell me about your riches. Take it to your business world. The church is where we discuss what we have in common. What do we have in common? Right. The Holy Ghost. What do we have in common? Eternal glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we have in common. That's what we discuss in church.
Yes, sir.
Don't come and tell me how much you bought your Range Rover. I don't care. Hallelujah. I love my legacy thing. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Don't come and tell me how much you built your house. I don't want to know. I still let it bleed your head. Glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost too.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
I say, you know, I bought the tire of my car. I say, yeah, I love my old track. Glory to God. Love my old track. We check it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Don't let anybody make you feel down, John. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We have the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. We have the Holy Ghost. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verses 10. He said, and I put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, hallelujah, barbarian, slaves nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we have in common.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 I have the Holy Ghost.
I have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
So when we gather, who and who do we have in the gathering? Who and who? What did I just say? Who and who do we have in the gathering? Glory to God. Who and who? Who do we find in the garden? Remember, we have the same, we have common identity, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it's good to know who and who we have in the garden. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before we look at who we have in the garden, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Let's quickly run up to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. We'll read together. Are you there? I want us to understand the basic fair before we talk about who we have in the garden. 1 Corinthians 11. Are you there? Look, let's read verse 17 together. I want to go. Did you read that?
Yes,
glory to God. See, in giving instructions, I did not praise you. The sins you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Paul is condemning their attitude when they come together. Hallelujah. For he makes you see something on the flip side. He says, when you come together, it's for the better. It's supposed to be for the better. Hallelujah. It's for the better.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says to stir up one another to good works.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we come together for the better. For the better.
What does it mean when it says for the better?
Better means we come together so that we can get improved upon.
That we can get improved upon. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Better on that thing. Amen. Right here.
So we get, we come together so that we can be improved upon. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, what do we have? What is to be improved on?
Remember, we said the Church of Christ does not need any improvement. I'm taking your mind back to chapter 1. So I want to bring something out now that you need to see. We said the Church of Christ does not need any improvement, right? And the Church of Christ is in its perfect state. Did we say that?
Yes.
Did we say that?
Yes.
So, those of you who were not there in chapter 4, part 1, part 2, up to part 5, a summary was on the group. Or he was now, or is on the group. Go and read it.
Amen. Amen. But glory to God. I will not say it here. Amen.
Amen.
So, the Church of Christ is in its perfect state. That was what we said, right? Now, what is, I would say the Church of Christ is where?
Our identification where?
In
Him. That means, when we say the Church of Christ is in its perfect state, we are referring to what? The person of the church.
Now we said we gather to get improved upon, to get better. Is there a contradiction? No. So that's why you need to listen well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what needs to be improved on is not our nature. Our nature is in Christ perfect. Are you following me? Our nature is in Christ perfect. I would say you have put on the new man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that Colossians chapter 3 again. I want you to see something now. Now I need you to look at your Bible closely. Closely. I in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. He said, you have put on the new man. Who is now he didn't say you will be putting on. He said, you have. So this is what has happened to you, man. In Christ.
Hallelujah.
He said, you have put on the new man. Who is renewed in the knowledge. Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Did you see that? The new man is renewed in knowledge.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you following that? So that means we have the nature of God.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. John 10:10, the thief come to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14:1, in my Father's house are many mansions. Say, if you were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and when I go, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you be also. Verses 18. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Before that, he has said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He said, even the spirit of truth the world cannot receive. Because then that season don't know him. He said, but you know him. But he shall be with you, and shall live in you. Say, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In that day, verse 20, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We have the nature of God. The nature of God does not need improvement. The nature of God is perfect. Hallelujah. So the Church of Christ is made perfect. So, the nature of God does not need improvement.
No. Hallelujah. So, the Church of God is full of life. The Church of God is holy. 1 Peter 2:9.
He said, you're a holy nation. A royal priesthood. You're a holy nation.
God's own people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verses 12, it says you've received the Spirit. In verses 13, it says you are spiritual. Hallelujah. So the child of God is born again spiritual. Say, I want to be spiritual. You are spiritual. By default, you are spiritual. Glory to God. It's spiritual. You're spiritual. Ephesians 4:24. Quickly. I hope you are following me. Hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4:24. I'm a bit fast, I know, but just let's go together. We have a whole lot to cover. Ephesians 4:24. Are you there? It says, and that you have put on the new man who is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that? You are righteous. You are holy.
Hallelujah.
This is who you are by default. So you are created righteous and holy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say in true holiness and righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
True righteousness and holiness. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verses 17. Sorry. That was a mistake. Amen.
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 So, what needs improvement is not our nature, but our conduct. What needs improvement is not our nature, but our conduct in the gathering. So, are you following me?
Yes.
So, we don't need improvement in our nature, but in our conduct. By our nature, we are by default holy, righteous, sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11, we are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. We are sanctified. So what we need to be improved on is our conduct. Hallelujah. So that means in the gathering, we would have the brethren in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. In the gathering, who would you see in the gathering? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. We could have. He said, and I, brethren. Brethren, meaning he's talking to believers. And I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. As to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So meaning in the gathering we would have carnal believers. We could have carnal believers. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
We could have carnal believers. Quickly. Now he uses the word for them. He says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people. He didn't by any means say they were not spiritual by nature. No. Because in chapter 2, verses 13, he has called them, you are spiritual. He called them spiritual people. We've done this study over and over again, right? So, but that is who they are by nature. But by conduct, they were not living that way. So he calls them carnal. He calls them babes. That word babes is in the Greek, nepios. Nepios. Greek. Nepios.
You know, I could remember years back saying something like, when you're born again a babe.
That's wrong. Hallelujah. You're not born again a babe.
No.
Babe is not a spiritual height, no. Are you hearing me? Babe is not a spiritual height. So that word nepios is an adjective that qualifies a noun. You know that. Hallelujah. It's used 18 times in the New Testament Greek. First of all, it's used for conduct. Conduct of a man who walks in the flesh. Conduct of a man who walks in the flesh. In Galatians 4:1. In Galatians 4:1, it said the head. I want to keep reading scripture. Let's open to Galatians 4:1 because some people will not open because the pastor will put it. So Galatians 4:1. Amen. Galatians 4:1. Let's go there. Now I said the head, as long as he is a child.
He said, different not from the servant. He said, though he be what? Master of all. Hallelujah.
Verse 2 now said, but it's under guidance and steward until the time appointed by the Father. Whenever I get to this verse, sometimes I just remember some wonderful rhema that has caught fire. Amen. So when you use the word the hair as long as it's a child, now it's not, when you use the word as long as it's a child, when you use that word hair, I use as long as a child, was not referring to the believer. Even at this point, if you call this a spiritual growth for the man who is born again, then it means you are reading out of context. Remember that scriptures were not written in chapters and verses. Chapters and verses were done years after, thousands of years after. That was when the Bible was chapterized and put in verses. Hallelujah. So you have to read in context. So if you start reading from chapter 3, from verses 15, into chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, with everything together, you'll discover that who is referring to, who is referring to as it, was referring to the nation of Israel and their unbelief, and how they walked in unbelief to the promise of God. Their character, their nature towards the promise of God. So I'm not referring to a believer here. Hallelujah. So he was referring to the conduct of what? The children of Israel. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So is this for the children of Israel? Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you're following me. Okay. You find it also in Ephesians 4:14. That we be no more children. How many quoting scriptures? Go back. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we should be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He said, we'll be no more children. Now he's using it to refer to the conduct of being deceived by wrong doctrine. That we'll be no more children carried. Now, how do we know? Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Hallelujah. So that nepios, or that babe, will be seeing what? In your speaking. So conduct. Are you following that? Glory to God. Amen. Are you following it? So it's used for conduct that is unbecoming of a believer. That word nepios also is used for I will receive the things of God. Okay, now so you cannot round up on a particular matter and say this is what it is in the Bible. No. You have to look at it in context. Are you following me? So that word nepios is also used for how we receive the things of God, how we receive the training of the Spirit in Matthew 11:25, Matthew 21:16, Luke 10:21. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Take it again. Matthew 11:25, 21:16. Luke 10:21. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Hallelujah. So the word babe is used for how we receive instructions. How we receive instructions. And also can also be used to qualify conduct that is not becoming of the believer. Did you see that? It's used both positively and negatively. Negatively is used for conduct. Positively is used for how we should receive the word. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we will have in the gathering men who are still battling some conduct which are not godly. We'll have in the gathering men, people who are still battling with some conduct that are unbecoming of believers. Are you hearing me? Amen. Who and whom do we have in the garden? Are these people born again? They are born again. But they're still battling some conduct issues. 1 Corinthians 5:1-4. We have that brother who commits sexual immorality. Are you hearing me? We have that brother who commits.
I'm being careful not to use some words. I'm not saying here, I'm saying gatherings, right? Gatherings. Glory to God. So, you know, meaning we have men in their imperfections. That's what I'm trying to let you know in the gathering. There's some people have gotten offended. They say, I don't even like the way that they just spoke to me. I don't know where they're now.
Look at yourself. You too. Are there not things in your own life that need improvement? Do you see?
So we have this set of people to incarnation.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
There are years back, that should be around 90-something. I actually joined some funny set of people and said, I'm not going to that place. How can this person be doing this?
But today, I won't have done that. You understand? Because I still have things then that I was still battling with. At least those years, I was still lying small life. But whether small or big, it's still life.
Glory to God.
So we have those set of people in the gathering. Some people easily just get offended. Just get offended. See, let me tell you something. I've attended a meeting before. And I'm not justifying the attitude, no. And that's why we're in the church to get corrected. Hallelujah. So there was someone that was in the service. I saw the person. In fact, I won't call the position of the person, but the person was in the service. Just that same service. We left in after 6 hours. We met somewhere. But the person didn't know I was there. And the person was fighting. He dropped the Holy Ghost one side. He dropped nature one side. I beat you here. He was like, I said, hey, wait. You know that? Imagine I don't judge the whole gathering because of that one person. No, no. I must understand that we all have our imperfections. Remember I told you, we are all in Christ. I was going somewhere those days, those weeks back, when I said things like, whether it's white garment, black garment, green garment, as long as we are born again, as long as the person is born again and is in white garment, green garment, or any garment, we are in Christ, right? I was going somewhere. We are here. We are going on. Hallelujah. So, can we continue? Aha. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 11:29, we have people in the garden who do not discern the Lord's body. Those are the people you call, they are self-centered. Self-centered people. All about me, and me. Me, myself, and I. No. You have such set of people in the congregations. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 4, are you in Ephesians 4? I want to read a couple of scriptures together, 25 to 28. Let's go. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one. I know people who have not opened their Bible. For we are members of one another. We are members of one. Simple. So we have that bro who tells lies, like me. Not like me today. Amen.
Glory to God.
But we have that bro like me who tells lies. Lies are a hobby. Isn't it? Speak the truth. Hallelujah. Let's speak the truth one to another. Are you following that? Are you following that? We are still in chapter 4. Look at the next verse. He said, be angry. Did you see that? He's not telling you to be angry.
It's because you don't read the Bible.
Okay, no. It's because it's not translated right to me. Hallelujah. That verse, there's a syntax error.
Have I thought on that?
Yes. Huh? On no. I said I will teach on it, right? Yes? Okay, I've thought of it. I've thought concerning it, right? Okay. He said, be angry. Now there's a syntax error there. It's not be angry.
No, look at it. well. If you read it well, you will not know that it's not actually be angry. Say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. Now, when you use the word sun go down on your wrath, that is a figurative expression to be. When you use that word to go down on something, don't let it rest on your wrath. It means that figurative expression is to mean do not let it stay. Are you hearing me? Now, that is the figure of speech. Do not let it stay. You don't allow the sun go down on your wrath. Do not let it stay. Now, for him to use that, he can't tell you be angry. In fact, originally in the Greek, it's read as this. It said, be not angry. I'm turning to King James. He says, it means don't be angry. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Meaning, do not allow the anger stay. Once it comes, you deal with it immediately. That's what he's telling you. That's what Paul is teaching. He said, do not allow anger stay. You know, people are not giving themselves expression. And say, you know, the Bible does not say you should not be angry. Just be angry.
Be angry. But when you are angry, you're looking at the sun. The sun is going and say, forgive you. Okay, what if you are not angry in the night? You're not waiting for sun to come out. Do you not see yourself that there's a problem with your theology? Your theology has killed it. No. Hallelujah. Say, no, no, what we say. You deal with it. Amen. So that means in this congregation they had people who were having issues with anger. Are you hearing me? People were having issues with anger. Verse 28, quickly. So in the congregation you have what? Those who have issues with anger. Who are always getting angry. So, you know, here's what I say, born again, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking. Prayer machine prayer, anything. His tongue is like the rushing mighty wind. And here he say, you know, I have this nature. I inherited it. I easily get angry. It's my nature. I know it's my nature. What's your nature? He said, you know, have you not heard people say that? It's my nature to be angry. I have it in my nature. And you are born again. You are not seeing. I would say, see, behold all things are new. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have that nature anymore.
Yes,
I don't have that nature. Hallelujah.
Yes,
then, you know, it's in our nature. People who used to stammer, we used to easily get provoked. So because they are stammering, then what does that mean? Well, they stammer, they go. Don't be angry. Deal with it. You know, I'm just looking at you. I'm just looking at you because it's not of God. Because if I begin to unleash the animal in me, the animal in you, a child of God, animal in you. Glory to God, I have the Holy Ghost in me. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. You have those who are unruly. It says, now I exhort you, brethren. We exhort you, brethren. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. We have these three sets of people in the congregation. We have those who are unruly. Unruly people are those who don't want to be under authority. Who don't want to be under control. I mean, I have people say, see, they can be brainwashing you people, but they cannot brainwash me. I have my mind. I have a mind of my own. I have a strong will. I'm a strong will person. You see your life. But we are going to be improved upon. That's how we come to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have those who are unruly, those who do not want to have, who do not want to be under control, those who want to have their own opinion. You know, my own opinion about what Pastor Smart was even talking about is the fact that, you see, what he said is his own mind though, but my own mind, your own mind, look at your mind.
Amen.
They just want to be, they want to have their own opinion. No. Glory to God. The church is not where we come to express our opinions. That's why we are, see, look at the whole lot of things. Hallelujah. Next week, as we round off, hallelujah. We have those who are faint-hearted. We have the weak in our midst. Hallelujah. We have in Titus 2:9, 1 Timothy 6, we're going to be fast now. We have those who are, Paul called them bond servants. Bond servants. So those who are actually learning a trade, those who are under people, those who are employees. You have the rich men. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. James 2:2. You have people who have money. Ego, kudi, owo. You have them in your midst. Hallelujah. But you know, when we come together, we are one. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We don't see men from those physical perspectives. We see them as who they are in Christ.
Yes,
amen. So irrespective of who we are, or irrespective of what we have, or who we have in the gathering, we all have the same identity in Christ because we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We have the same source. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something quickly you need to see, just to further enlighten us on what I've just said. I'll read what I have in my notes. It says, though Christ has perfected the church, it then looks as if, from what we just said, it then looks as if maybe there's another level of perfection going on somewhere, right? Or some people are not really, really perfect. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see Peter. Peter will help us out a bit. 1 Peter 2:9, I have said that. He said, you are a royal priesthood, right? A holy nation. 1 Peter 2:9. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 15. 1 Peter 1 15. Are you there? If you dare read. It says, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in your conduct. Did you see that? Be holy in your conduct. You remember in chapter 2, verse 9, it says you are holy. So one talks about the nature. The other one talks about what? Your conduct. So by nature you are holy. Are you following me? 2 Peter 3:11, you see it there also. He said we should be holy. Hallelujah. So one deals with the nature, the other deals with the conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Christ, we have the control to our conduct. We have the control. Ephesians chapter 4, where we just moved out from just now. Ephesians 4:22. We begin to round up. Ephesians 4:22. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22. Okay, if you're there, read 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct. You put off. Did you see that? Remember, he has told you already before that you have put on the new man. Now he now says you put off. He shows you your own effort. Do you understand me? Says you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. And that you have put on the new man. Did you see that? And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Sorry. And you put on the new man. Hallelujah. So it tells you, Paul is speaking about a switch in conduct. A switch in conduct. You switch off the old conduct. Hallelujah. And then you do what? You put on the right conduct. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. So it's what, when he says the word you put off, it shows you your own effort. My effort to stop it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Look at chapter 5 verse 8. That word is used again. He said, for this you know, sorry. 5 verse 8. He said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He said, walk as children of the light. When he said, walk as children of the light, he talks about your conduct, your ability to walk as who you are. Remember, your nature is light. So now you now walk
as children of the light. This talks about two conduct. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now let's go back to Matthew 28, where we came from, verse 20. He said, teaching them.
Now you now see where teaching becomes important.
He said, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. You see, we often teach. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age.
So Jesus tells us that the primary activity when we gather is to what? Teach.
My church, no, I love my church. I told her about someone that told me the reason why she loved a particular church because the way they used to dance. You go to church to dance. And also when that told me one, I said, if I miss the praise and worship session, there's no reason for me going to church. No. Such a person. No different from who Kenny Hagin will say it's better coconut water is put in his head. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something better. Something was that coconut water should be filled, should fill his head. Go to church to dance. Say, no one will begin to dance in church. Our shoe goes scatter. Ah! Oh, that what? When the president just say, give me space. Hey!
What even between that place and the dance club?
Say, teaching them the primary activity. We spend time to teach. We spend time to teach. Primary activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We teach. And why do we teach? Remember, why do we gather? That we get better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the teaching of the gospel is to the end that we get better. We're closing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3:15.
And from childhood. And from a child. Say you've known the Holy Scriptures. The which are able to make thee wise. For salvation. It's a true faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's able to make thee wise for salvation. The true faith which is in Christ Jesus. He now said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word didaskalia. It means it's profitable for teaching. Hallelujah. The scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, as in what he was referring to as a death. Today, Genesis to Revelation. He said it's given for teaching. Hallelujah. Given for teaching. Teaching. He said for reproof. That word for is the word proves. It means in view of. The result of. Is given for teaching. For reproof. That means teaching will produce reproof.
Are you following me?
Teaching will produce reproof.
It's a reproof of correction. Meaning, reproof will bring forth correction. Correction will bring forth instruction in righteousness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So teaching will produce reproof. That is the Greek word that implies evidence, conviction. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, the conviction. Conviction.
So teaching will bring about conviction. That's a conviction will bring about correction. That's the word will bring epatinosis. Epatinosis. It means straightening, to restore back to normal, to restore back in order. Correction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Correction. To put things back in its place. It's a correction will bring about instructions in righteousness. Instructions in righteousness. Paideia. En diakosune. It means that word paideia is used in Ephesians 6 verse 4. Hebrews chapter Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5
is used for a father and son relationship, for training. How a father nurtures his child, for training. Hallelujah.
If you read Hebrews 12 verse 5, you know, the writer of Hebrews was explaining,
Proverbs chapter 3.
Proverbs 3:11 was explaining Proverbs 3:11, and he uses the way he uses the word
chastising is not to flog. Chastising means to train with words. That word paideia, to train with words.
Hallelujah. So therefore, can we say teaching
will produce paideia? Teaching that produces reproof, that produces correction, also brings about spiritual growth. Paideia, spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So the teaching of the word is to the end that we are better. Better will mean what? Spiritual growth.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we gather so we can grow spiritually. We gather to be taught. We gather to get taught.
2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 2. Hallelujah.
We gather to be taught. And in teaching, we will receive rebuke. We receive instructions. All for our spiritual growth. We receive corrections. Correction on attitude and on becoming of believers. Corrections. As you don't want to do, hallelujah. And all is for spiritual gain. Hallelujah. For spiritual growth. So therefore, what is the conclusion of the matter? Spiritual growth can only be found in the local church. Nobody gets spiritually grown by reading Bible on his own. In fact, we'll begin to explore that one. You know, some people say, I want to know God on my own. No. You know God in the gathering. Go read scriptures. In Acts 2, when men got saved, they were added to their gatherings. They were brought into the gathering. You cannot be a believer on the island. Remember last week I told you, you cannot say, I'm running a personal... How did I even put it? Not personal race now. Salvation is... Yeah, we're here, my salvation is personal. No. You don't say that. It's a careless word to use. Hallelujah. You are born again to be added to a gathering of people. The apostles, they had their company. Act 4, they went back to their company. You can only find spiritual growth in the company. Look at when Barnabas left Paul, we didn't hear of him again in ministry. When Barnabas left Paul, we didn't hear of him again in ministry. Spiritual growth can only be found in the garden. A man that Satan wants to deal with, a man that is yielding to the flesh, yielding to Satan, is a man who is withdrawing from the congregation of saints, from the gathering of God's people. Satan knows if you stay with your gathering, with the gathering, Satan knows he can get at you easily. He can only get at you when he finds way to take you off the gathering of believers. Be wise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Glory to God. So next week we'll begin to look at who's responsible for my spiritual growth. How do I know I am spiritually growing? We will get to know this more. Is it by the amount of Greek and Hebrew word that I now know? We'll get to know how do I know I'm growing spiritually. How do I know? Amen. Everybody can go on the internet to learn Greek and Hebrew words. So I know what we're looking at. Hallelujah. But we're going to see from scripture what spiritual growth in the local church means. Hallelujah. Have you learned something? Talk to someone and share with the person what you learned today.